just take the same old people and put them in the same old positions and sometimes get the same old results, usually good, but sometimes maybe their effectiveness is worn down. But we just keep doing it. The third P on our list is the P of politics. These are people who know how to work the system. These are people who know how to get in with the right people, how to grin just right, how to say everything with just the finesse, to clamp down just the right way. And they've got clout. They've got political savvy. So we put them into office. The last one on our list is the P of the pocketbook. These are people who are wealthy. They give generously to the church, and we appreciate their gifts. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we allow people to buy their way into church leadership. So, all through the Bible, we can see that when leaders were chosen, they were chosen very, very carefully. For example, when Moses was leading the people of Israel to the promised land, he was trying to do it all by himself, wasn't he? And one day, Jethro came in and said, "Moses, this is stupid." It's kind of like Jacob Carvalho would say it. "This is stupid because, you know, you're just going to wear yourself out and drive everybody crazy. This is not the way to be doing leadership." And so Jethro said to him, "What you need to do is this. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials." When it came time for Jesus to put together a leadership team that would take the gospel to the whole world, he brought together men and women who had a heart for God, men and women who were not afraid to give everything they had to see the cause of Christ go forward. Then there were the apostles. They gathered together in the upper room in the days following the ascension of Jesus Christ. And one of the first things they talked about was filling the vacancy that had been left by Judas. And with profound insight, Peter quoted from Psalm 109, verse 8, when he said, "May another take his place of leadership." And then they went on to select another member to join their ranks, someone who had walked with Jesus all along, someone who had been there from the time of his baptism to the time of his ascension. Then we come to our passage for today, and you might want to open your Bibles to that passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And there the Apostle Paul tells us that church leaders must be selected very carefully. He tells us in verse 10, they must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve. And then Paul goes on to define the character qualities that must attend those who hold the highest offices in the church. These are the people who serve as elders, deacons, and deaconesses. And what he does is he sets the standard very high. You want to know why? Because as the leadership of the church goes, so goes the church. The qualities that we find here in 1 Timothy 3 are qualities that we want to see across the board, across our church membership. And if you want to see that happen, you got to start with the leadership of the church. So the Apostle Paul starts out with the church elders. He says here in verse 1, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, I think that we have to understand here that there is something good about aspiring to serve the church as an elder. What Paul is talking about here is not some kind of egomaniac, some kind of power-hungry person who by nit and grit says, "I will become a church elder no matter what." These are not the kind of people who politic and elbow their way into leadership. These are people who have a heart for God. These are people who have a heart to serve and bless the church. These are people who know that the Holy Spirit has entrusted them with leadership gifts, and they want to make those gifts available to the church when they are needed. And so they are wide open to the possibility. At the same time, I think that you need to understand that there may be some hesitancy on the part of these people when you on the nominating committee call them up and say, "Hey, will you serve us as a church elder in the coming year?" Because they may feel unworthy. They may have a humble attitude about themselves. And that's good. All through Scripture, you quite often find people called to the highest points of service in the church, and these people pull back and said, me? You want me? And that's a healthy attitude. But there's another part to this as well. It seems to me that some people may be saying, well, help me understand what's involved with the job. What are the roles involved in being an elder? These people may need time to think and pray and seek God's direction, and that's a very good thing. The second thing that we can see here in the passage is that the Apostle Paul tells us that being a church elder is a noble task. Being a church leader is a noble task, and that tells us something very important. That tells us that we need to uphold our church leaders. We need to uphold our pastors and elders and deaconesses and Sabbath school leaders and outreach leaders and all the rest. We need to surround them with our respect. We need to honor them. We need to treat them with love. We need to surround them with our prayers every single day. We need to make church leadership in our church so positive that our kids grow up saying, you know what? I can't wait till it's my turn. I want to serve the church someday, and I'll be glad when it's my time. We want our church leaders to succeed because the success of our church leaders carries with them the success of our church. And so when we go looking for elders, we're looking for five things. We're looking for five roles that they will cover. And the first of these is spiritual leadership. These are people whose whole sense of leadership rises up out of who they are in Jesus Christ. I mean, everywhere they go, there's a spiritual atmosphere that surrounds them. Their life, their character, their actions speak of Jesus Christ. They are the spiritual pace setters of the church. The second role of the elders is that of worship leadership. You see, when we come together to worship like this on Sabbath morning, this is the single most important thing that we do as a church. Everything else we do, our fellowship, our ministry in the community, our outreach, everything spills out of our worship of God. So this is the most important thing we do as a church. And our church elders are there to help craft the worship services and help organize the worship services so that there's someone there to cover the scripture lesson and call for the offering and lead us in prayer and all the rest. Our worship leaders, our elders are there to help take the ho-hum and the tedium out of worship so that it is something that engages our hearts and carries us right into the throne room of God. The third thing that we ask our elders to do is to provide membership care. These are the men and women who get into our homes. They visit and they interact with us. They talk with us out in the hallway, and they know what's on our hearts. They know what we're thinking. They know what our challenges and needs are, and they're there to pray for us. They are there to let us know that we are not alone, that there is someone, there is our church family that supports them and understands them and is there for them. Our church elders play a very important role because these are people that are warm and accessible. They are safe for us to go to when we need encouragement and counsel. The fourth thing that I can think of that elders need to do is work closely with their pastor. You see, pastors are men and women who, you know, from time to time move from one church to the next, and churches often have a long history, much longer than the time that pastor's been there. So the elders help the pastor with wise counsel and advice. They help them to understand the fine nuances of the congregation and some of the history so that they can take their gifts and apply them well to the life of that congregation. We want our elders to be people who can support and encourage our pastors and bring the best out of them, because healthy, successful pastors help to lead healthy, successful churches. The last thing that I can see on my list for today is that we look to our elders for administrative leadership. They are the ones who help our church board and our church body to know where we need to go. They are the ones that help us identify and put into action our distinctive vision. They are the ones who help to organize us and mobilize us for our ministry in the community. Our church elders are an essential part of the leadership of our church, and so we look to them as our friends, as our partners in ministry, and as our leaders as we press into the future. We value our elders, and today we honor those of you who've made a commitment to provide that kind of leadership in the coming year. The second leadership position that we can find here in the passage is that of a deacon. We can see that here in verses 8 through 10, and then again in verses 12 and 13. And this takes us back to the story that we find in Acts chapter 6. In Acts 6, we find that the apostles, they're out there, and they're just like Moses. They're doing everything. They're doing the preaching, they're doing the teaching, they're doing the Bible studies, they're doing the administration, the evangelism, community services. They're doing it all. And you know what? In spite of the fact that they're not sharing the burden, God is blessing, and the church is growing by gangbusters. Well, so the apostles are out there, and they're kind of like Chinese acrobats, you know, when they get all those plates spinning on dozens of sticks, and all these plates are spinning around, and inevitably, after a while, one of those plates begins to slip. And one day, at the church soup kitchen, the widows were queued up in line to get their bowl of soup, and one of them nudged her friend, and she said, "Psst, you see what's going on over there? Those Jewish widows are getting preferential treatment, and I don't think it's right. I think the whole thing stinks. I think I'm going to have a word with the apostles about this." And her friend said, "I'll go with you." So they shared their concern with the apostles, and they said, "You're right. This isn't good." And they got their heads together and thought, "What are we going to do? I mean, taking care of widows is important. Make sure they get a good solid lunch is important. But waiting on tables, as important it is, should not be allowed to eclipse the core, the primary responsibilities that we carry here in the church." So they thought the matter through. They gave it a great deal of prayer, and they said, "Okay, here's what we need to do. We need to find seven men who will help run the soup kitchen ministry of our church. And this is what we're looking for in these men. We want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we want them to be filled with wisdom." They went to the church body, and they said, "Here's what we're thinking. What do you think?" And they said, "Well, that's a great idea. Why didn't we think of that sooner?" So the church body selected seven men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with wisdom, and they brought them to the apostles, who laid hands on them and ordained them. And do you know what happened? From then on, the apostles were free to do the thing they needed to do most. They were free to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer, while the deacons were set free to attend to the practical ministries of the church. And you know what happened? All that exciting church growth just took off at a whole new level. They just absolutely blew the roof off the place. In today's church, it seems to me that there are two things that deacons are particularly well known for. One is their big hearts, and number two, their gifted hands. You see, there are a lot of deacons who probably are not good with words. They could probably not preach their way out of a paper sack if they had to. But these are people who know how to love. These are people who know how to give a helping hand. And they make all the difference in the world because they attend to the practical necessities of the church. They're so essential to our success. Our deacons also get into our homes. They visit with us, and they not only listen to what we have to say, they keep an eye out for what the needs might be in that family. They go to visit a widow, and they see that her lawn is overgrown. They'll say, "I'll be back next Sunday morning and get this thing mowed nice and trim for you." They're out to see a disabled vet who can't do much, and he has no real solid income, and his hot water heater is broken. They'll say, "We'll be back. We're going to go tap the church benevolence fund, buy you a new hot water heater, and get it installed for you." They minister to the practical needs of the church. Well, this is something else they do. They take responsibility for the physical plant here at our church. They keep it clean. They keep it attractive. They keep it functional. They keep it safe. They keep it secure. And they play a very important supportive role in our worship services. They're there at the door. They help people find their seats. They collect the offering and the tithes and make sure that it gets into the hands of the treasury folks. They are there to help with our communion services by organizing the foot washing time, by helping to serve the bread and the wine, and they also play a very important role in our baptismal services. In the background, yes, but very, very important. I, for one, value the ministry of our deacons. You want to know why? Because they can do all kinds of things I just don't do well. But you know what? When we work together, God is honored, and the people are blessed, and our church is made more attractive, and more people come to join us, and we just have a great time together. We value our deacons, and today we want to say a great big thank you to all the deacons who agreed to serve us in the coming year. I'm glad you did that, because it occurred to me that it would be a good idea if we were to stop a deacon in the hall and say, this place looks great, and we want to thank you for that. There's a third group of church leaders that we want to look at here in the passage, and they're found in verse 11. We call them deaconesses. It says here, in the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Now, you need to know something about the Greek word that's used here for wives. It's a little difficult to fully translate into English. We could translate it wives and understand that Paul is speaking to those who are married to deacons. And that would probably be an okay interpretation of that. But the more likely interpretation of what he's talking about here are those who serve the church as deaconesses. Now, we do know that there were deaconesses in the early Christian church. We know that because in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Now, this word servant in here, take a look at this. In the Greek, it is the feminine form of the word deacon. So we know that Phoebe was a deaconess. We don't know an awful lot about this lady, but we know that she must have been very wealthy. She was a member of the church there in Cenchrea. She was a deaconess. And in that role, she played a supportive role in the worship services. We know that she was an advocate for the poor. We know that she was a source of good legal advice for people who were in trouble. And something else, there seems to be good indication in Scripture that when Paul got his letter to the Romans written, that he gave it to Phoebe to carry it to the saints there in Rome so that they would have a fresh word of encouragement. Phoebe's name means bright, radiant star, and that's just what she was, a bright rising star in the church. Well, the work of the deaconesses in the church today, in many ways, parallels that of the deacons. Only they bring to the church life a woman's touch. They bring the touch that only a woman could bring. And so they are there in the homes to visit with the sick and care for the poor. They are there to encourage new believers and to visit with the shut-ins. When there's a funeral in our church, they help to put a beautiful spread of food out so that family is well cared for in their time of grief. Our deaconesses are there to help with the communion services. They organize the foot washing. They get the bread and wine on the table. They help to serve the elements. And they are there also to play an important supportive role with our baptisms. Our deaconesses are there as positive role models for the girls and for the women of our church. They are there to inspire all of us to greater service for Jesus Christ. And today we are grateful for those who have agreed to serve our church as deaconesses in the coming year. Now, I wish I could say that the ordination of deaconesses is a part of the practice of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I wish I could say that the ordination of deaconesses is a part of the practice here in the Healdsburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. But that simply is not the case at this time. But I look forward to the time when we will do that, and I'll tell you why. That is because I believe that the work of the deaconesses is all as important as the work of the deacons who we ordain. Furthermore, I believe that in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and in Scripture, ministry is gender inclusive. It is based upon character. It is based upon gifts. It is not based upon gender. And furthermore, I have a friend. Her name is Ellen White. And many years ago, she wrote, "Women who are willing to consecrate some of their time to the service of the Lord should be appointed to visit the sick, look after the young, and minister to the necessities of the poor. They should be set apart to do this work by prayer and the laying on of hands." Sounds like the work of a deaconess to me. How about you? So I'm looking forward to the day when we will ordain our deaconesses just like we ordain our deacons and elders and pastors. Until then, we're going to make sure that there's an appropriate dedication for them because we value the work of our deaconesses. Well, the elders, deacons, and deaconesses of our church are a very important part of our ministry team. They are made of very special stuff. And next week, we're going to take a look at this, a further look at this passage here in 1 Timothy 3 to identify the character qualities that make these people tick from the inside. Together, these are people who exercise their spiritual gifts, and they help to build up the church of Jesus Christ in every way. They are quite a team. Many years ago, there was a ship's captain and its chief engineer who got into a heated argument. And what they fought about was who was most important to the success of the ship. The captain said, "It's me." And the chief engineer said, "No, I'm the one who's most important." So to settle the whole argument, they agreed to swap positions for a day or two. The captain went down into the engine room, and the chief engineer went up to the bridge and took hold of the wheel. And after several hours, the captain emerged. He was standing there on the deck covered with dust and oil, and he was shaking a monkey wrench in his hand. And he shouted up to the captain, "You better get down here right now because I can't make her go." And the engineer up on the bridge shouted back, "Of course you can't make her go. I ran her aground." And the Church of Jesus Christ, we are a team. We are all in this together. No one's more important than the other. We serve together in leadership and in ministry of our church. And I'm glad for each one of you who's on this team, each one of you who's made a commitment to serve this church and advance the mission of this church. Now today, we're going to have an ordination service. We're going to have a dedication service. Today, it is our happy privilege to ordain two elders and one deacon, as well as dedicate our entire ministry team for the church in the year to come. So today, I'm asking that Bridget Warner and Riola Meadows, if they would make their way down to the front. Wayne Ramslin is going to be ordained as one of our deacons. If you could just come down right front here. Come on in. Then I'd like to ask all of those who are church elders, those who are serving us this current year, or those who will be serving or who have served us in the past, either in this church or another church, if you could come down to the front here and surround these folks. If you could just line up right here for us here. Crowd on in. We're going to need to make some room here. Okay, those of you who have served as elders or are currently serving as elders, if you would come in and surround these folks. Particularly, would love to get families next to families here. Then I'd like to invite all those who have agreed to serve us as deacons or deaconesses in the coming year. If you could come in close as well. We're going to need to pack in. Come on over here. Let's make a circle here. Come on in. All right. I need a couple elders up here with me. Ron? Would you please? Gil, come on over here. All right, let's kneel together. Just like to invite you to take your hand and put it on the shoulder in front of you here. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be your church family here. To be brothers and sisters and family members and partners in ministry. Amen. Thank you so much for saving us, for calling us into your service, mm-hmm. for imparting to us spiritual gifts that can be used to take the church forward. Today, we're grateful for these three who have agreed to enter into a new kind of ministry, a whole new experience for them. And today, I'm praying that you will be with Riola and Bridget in a very special way as we ordain them as church elders.
Yes, Lord.
Fill them with your spirit.
Yes.
Give them creative energy.
Amen.
Give them a great wisdom from on high that will enable them to bless the church in a special way.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, too, that you will bless every elder of this church.
Mm-hmm.
We're at an important transition point, and new things are going to be happening here, and we sense that you are opening exciting new doors, and we pray that your blessing will be upon our entire elder team.
Amen. Yes.
Today, Lord, we are excited to ordain Wayne Ramson as one of our deacons.
Amen.
And we're grateful that you've brought him to our church family, and
yes,
that you've given him a heart to serve. And I pray that you will fill him with your spirit as well.
Amen.
And make him wise and gift his hands to bless this church significantly.
Amen.
At the same time, we're praying that you will be with all of our deacons and deaconesses.
Mm-hmm.
As they move into ministry, as they help take our church forward, bless them. There are so many others in our church, Sabbath school teachers and outreach leaders and community service leaders and greeters and secretaries and librarians and all the rest. Every single one, Lord, bless their heart today.
Amen.
Carry them through the coming year.
Yes.
Help us to work together as a team.
Yes.
And recognize you're the captain.
Uh-huh.
You're taking the good ship Zion through. And in your hands, we will travel in safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.